Chapter 18, Meeting with the Alcadia. The bridge fundraising was one of the most incredible journeys I had ever taken. I told Cynthia this was one of the greatest stories of God's grace and blessing I had ever personally experienced. More importantly, I had grown in my faith. I was serious when I told people that I was so blessed and fulfilled by the fundraising that I didn't even need to go and build the bridge. But although the fundraising had been an incredible experience, I still knew there was one more mountain I had to climb to actually go and build the bridge. So on February 4th, 2011, Mike and I boarded a plane to go and do just that. We arrived in Nicaragua late that Friday evening. Even though it had been almost a year since I had last set foot in the country, the sights and sounds made it seem like only a month. Once you see people living in extreme poverty along the roadside, the pictures your mind takes become etched into your memory. The sight of these people quickly reminded me of why I had come back, to help the people in two mountain communities build a bridge to a better life. We spent that Friday night in Managua and got an early start the next morning to travel to Matiwas. As we made our way through the crowded streets of Managua, I was sure to take in all the sights along the way. The men and women standing in the middle of the street, waiting for the light to turn red, selling small plastic bags of water, handmade jewelry, cell phone chargers, vegetables, and fresh baked breads. Tables lined one side of the street as far as one could see, with people selling everything from name brand shoes to pocketbooks. This is the way of life for these people, hoping enough people will stop so they can earn enough money to provide food for their family. Still, these people have a job, making life a little better than the people living in the communities where the bridge will be built. For the people in the mountain communities, they rely solely on being able to cross a river every day to carry canisters filled with fresh milk to the collection location, or to get to their farmland and cattle. When the rain pours down and the river floods, it affects their whole livelihood. To me, this is what makes the bridge project so rewarding, so fulfilling. It will help improve the lives of two whole communities. As we continued to travel farther up into the mountains, the anticipation began to get the better of me. Milos with Bridges to Prosperity had last emailed me in January, telling me the bridge construction had begun. I knew the foundations for the large bridge tiers would need to be excavated first, with all of the digging done by hand. I was anxious to see how much the communities had accomplished over the past 3 weeks. Without the aid of a backhoe, the Gavilán and Patasúle communities would have had to form work teams to dig out the foundation for the bridge tier on each side of the river. Then I remembered the large amount of rock at the location of the father's foundation, which would make the digging on that side even more difficult, if not impossible. Two questions then came to mind. Would the required amount of manual labor prove too difficult? And if so, would they get discouraged and quit? I knew in my heart that if the answer to either of these questions was yes, then my church's fundraising efforts would have been for naught. The three-hour trip to the town of Matiwas seemed like seven. As we turned on the dirt road leading to the river, I could slowly feel my heart rate speeding up ever so slightly. Then I saw the Bulbul River. At that moment, I remembered Orlando, who tragically lost his life in the greater Matagalpa River. He was a family man who shared the same vision for the bridge as my church family. The only thought that brought any comfort to me was that if every time someone walked across the bridge, they would wonder why Orlando's name was included on the bridge plaque. Then someone would share the story of Orlando's unselfish efforts in helping with the initial survey for the bridge in 2010. It was a fitting tribute to his life. Walking down to the location for the bridge, I noticed two large piles of stones the communities had already gathered. At a quick glance, I could already tell a lot more of the larger stones would be needed for the construction. The two communities had worked hard preparing the construction site, clearing the area of tall grass and removing several of the smaller trees. Walking closer, I saw the excavation for the large foundation tier. It was huge. Peering over the side, I was relieved to see the dirt was firm and stable. Surprisingly, the hole was relatively free of debris, and the dimensions looked to be correct, seemingly ready for the stones and cement. Then, walking cautiously over to the bank of the river, I noticed the area had been rid of the large black ants, which were crawling everywhere last April. I still remembered the one ant biting into my finger while I was trying to steady the Abney level on the small homemade survey rod. That bite actually brought a small amount of blood to the surface. Looking at the river, I could easily tell this was the dry season, since the river was merely a small stream. Stepping across on the stone path, we made our way to the other side. To my amazement, the communities had fully excavated this foundation tier as well, somehow chiseling their way through a meter of shale rock. All at once, a really big smile came on my face, realizing how unimaginably difficult digging this foundation, using only picks and shovels, must have been. Several large piles of rock around the excavation revealed something about these people, their desire to see this bridge built. As we left the bridge site that day, I stared back at the excavation area and the large piles of stone and thought to myself, raising the $25,000, that now seemed to be the easy part of the project. If it was hard for me to grasp how we were going to build this bridge by hand, then I couldn't imagine how the men and women digging the foundations and gathering the stones must feel. Did they really understand the enormity of this project and the amount of manual labor that will be required to complete it? And if the daily progress slowed any, will they continue to be committed, or would they get discouraged and want to quit? For the communities of Gavilan and Patistule, building the bridge was going to be a daunting task. At this point, even I was starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed. Knowing that Milos with Bridges to Prosperity would be here on Monday to help organize and get the construction started was a soothing thought. The email I received the next day from Milos would quickly unnerve me. In his email, he stated that he was in the middle of two projects in El Salvador and starting a third, and wouldn't be in Matihuas until Friday. Then he asked for a favor, for me to start the construction of one foundation tier. I took a really deep breath as I continued reading his instructions. The first part of his instructions was easy, simply to verify the dimensions of the excavations. 5.1 meters by 3.6 meters by 1 meter deep, and check that it was square. Then came the more challenging parts. Arrange with the municipality the services of a stonemason, buy as much cement and sand as I had money to purchase, and have both delivered to the bridge site. Then the more detailed part. Begin the tier construction by building up the meter-tall masonry walls, 60 centimeters wide. Milos gave me a vote of confidence by reminding me of the training I got in El Chacon, and that I should have gained enough experience there to handle this. Though I had spent 12 days before Thanksgiving working on the El Chacon suspended bridge in El Salvador, at this moment I wished I had taken more notes. The first order of business that Monday morning was to visit the Alcaldía of Matihuas. We needed to hire a stonemason for the construction and hoped they would know of a good one. The stonemason was the key to the project's success, as he would essentially be the project's superintendent, each day directing and supervising the volunteer labor from the Gavilan and Patistule communities. In return for his skills and management role, Bridges to Prosperity would pay him a fair hourly wage from the bridge fund. For this reason, it was important to hire a stonemason with good leadership skills and who would work as hard, if not harder, than everyone else. More importantly, a person who could keep the community motivated. For almost 30 minutes, Mike and Danilio discussed the bridge project's details with the town officials. Soon, a clean-cut, well-shaven man appeared in the doorway. He was introduced, and from what I could gather from the conversation, a stonemason. But for some reason, based purely on my first impression, I couldn't picture him being the right person for the job. Nevertheless, this is who the Alcadia was recommending, and at this point, we didn't have any reason to question their recommendation. With that order of business behind us, one of the officials took out a book. As he opened it and began to flip through the pages, I realized it contained pictures of rivers. He continued flipping through the pages until he stopped at one in particular. The picture before me was of an existing bridge crossing over a river gorge. Mike listened carefully as the official explained the relevance of the photo. After a few minutes, Mike turned to me and explained that the bridge in the photo is in need of repair, and he would like for us to build a new bridge at this location after we complete the bridge for the Gavilan and Patistule communities. Without even taking a second to think, I looked at Mike and stated, "No, these people have a bridge. We're going to help build bridges for communities who don't have a bridge, and the location I choose to build the next bridge is going to be based on need, on the number of people it will help, and not based on who lives there." After Mike got through telling him my response, the man closed the book. As we were leaving, I reminded Mike to ask them about buying a truckload of sand and where to buy the bags of cement. Their providing us with this information would make our meeting at least seem somewhat productive to me, as I still had concerns about the stonemason they had recommended. As he stood in the doorway, he struck me as too clean-cut. I didn't need a bridge supervisor. I needed a person who was willing to get in the trench and show these two communities how to lay stones and build this bridge.